the blessed Lamb once slain will reign forevermore, for he is Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. And happy Father's Day. I am Deacon Bob, and on behalf of our pastor, Father Mario, our very fine celebrant this morning, Father Scott, we are so happy you have joined us today in worship of Jesus Christ. To anyone visiting with us here this morning, please know that the hearts and doors of St. Cyril are always open for you. So this is the Most Holy Trinity Sunday. And when it comes to preaching on the Holy Trinity, you can twist yourself into all sorts of deep theology. But with my back, this early in the morning, there will be no twisting. Deep theology belongs in the classroom anyway, not in a sermon. So, I will keep it simple. We all know what the Holy Trinity is. One God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is a model of perfect love. Now, how does God actually do the one God, three persons thing? How does it work? I don't know. Father Scott doesn't know. It's one of the mysteries of our faith. You know, I do take great heart in the fact that we can't explain everything God does. Because if we humans with our limitations could figure out and explain how God does everything, he would not be much of a God. Now, however, there are many things we can understand from the Holy Trinity. For instance, one God, three persons, shows us that God, by his own nature, is relational. Now, we as his creation, as shown in Genesis chapter 1, where God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So if we are created in their image, we must then recognize we are also meant to be relational throughout the extent of our lives. You know, all of Scripture is about relationships. Us to God, God to us, relationships with one another. You know, in John chapter 13, verse 34, clearly states God's expectations of our relationships with one another when Jesus says, "As I have loved you, you also should love one another." So God is telling us through the model of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is telling us in Scripture, relationships absolutely matter. How we treat one another does matter to God. So give the relationships in your life the attention and the love that they deserve. Amen?
Amen.
Now there is more to be learned in today's gospel from and about the Holy Trinity. In today's scripture, Jesus tells his disciples that the Spirit of truth will come. And the Spirit will not speak on its own. But everything the Spirit teaches will be taken from what is Jesus's. And all that belongs to Jesus belongs to the Father. So we can see the mutual ownership by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of everything that's being taught. Now, this is another view for us to see the manifestation of the Holy Trinity. And notice the word truth is associated with the Spirit. It is associated with the Holy Trinity. But unfortunately, in the world today, it is hard sometimes to see any evidence in society of God's truth. Rather, it seems to be a beaten and trashed concept anymore. You know, I was watching the news the other day, and it involved a panel discussion on abortion, as this has been a trending topic again. As the two sides were going back and forth, eventually the pro-adoption supporter defended her position of legalized abortion by saying to the pro-life people, and I quote, "What's true for me isn't true for you. Why? Because each one of us determines our own truth. I have the freedom to decide what is true for me. You can't impose your truth upon me." You know, when I heard this, my first thought was, what an ignorant, self-centered statement. But then you have to wonder, how many people fall into that trap? How many people believe that the truth is whatever they think it should be? And the answer is, way too many believe this to be so. Many fall into this false narrative with God all the time, especially when it comes to moral issues. They form their own ideas as to what is truth and then convince themselves that somehow God shares this same truth with them. Or worse yet, because they don't want their idea of truth torn down completely, they ignore God and His truth. You know, through the years, I've heard numerous people tell me they stay out of the church because they don't want to hear that they might be sinful. What they are really saying is they do not want to hear things that might be different or challenge the way they think. And whether they know it or not, what they truly are is afraid of hearing the truth, God's truth. It's much easier just to ignore it. You know, when everybody does what he or she thinks is right or wrong in their own mind, the net effect is sinful behavior. It then becomes justified and accepted. Now, how dangerous is that to the eternal soul? Amen?
Amen.
You know, oddly enough, this is not a current problem. From the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we can read, in those days, everyone did what was right in his eyes. So even as long as 2,000 plus years ago, people were deciding for themselves what was right and what was true. Now, as all of us as faithful men and women of Jesus Christ, we cannot go down that path. We cannot accept truth as whatever we want it to be. As Catholic believers, we have an obligation to move beyond that narcissistic idea. And let's understand that truth is not subjective. It's not relative. It's not an opinion. It's not a bias. It's not a prejudice. Truth is a person. Truth is God Himself. It's one of His characteristics. You know, the statement God is truth is affirmed throughout the Bible. Psalm 31 says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." Exodus 34 declares God is abundant in truth. His truth reaches into the cloud, says Psalm 108. And in the Gospel of John, which includes our reading today, truth is mentioned often as it relates to God's character. God is truth. And since it is a holy trinity of three, it means it is the Holy Spirit of truth, and that the Son, Jesus, is truth also. Now I want you to think for a moment. One of the more famous pieces of Scripture. It comes from John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus didn't say, "I've come to tell you the truth." Nor did he say, "Look over there, and I will point to where truth is." What he said was very clear and direct. "I am the truth." There's nothing subjective here regarding what Jesus is saying. He's not asking for an opinion as to what is right or wrong. There is no statement from him that what may be true for you doesn't necessarily be true for me. What he said was an absolute. "I am the truth." An uncompromising statement of reality. Jesus is who he says he is, and we need to anchor deep into that truth. Amen?
Amen.
You know, however, our society in general tilts toward that truth, that truth can be defined in multiple ways. It's the view where a good many people see that truth can be something they define for themselves and will allow others to define it differently. The results of this are predictable, and they can be seen in the acceptance of abortion, pornography, the general unwillingness to accept a higher moral authority. All of these have mainstream acceptance, and all of these are opposite of God's truth. Truth is not speculative. It's not subjective. It's not guided and grounded within ourselves. It is grounded in God Almighty. And the truth came into the world in the face of Jesus. Now in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus prays to the Heavenly Father that we, His followers, be consecrated in His truth, be consecrated in Him, to be dedicated to Him and His truth, to be made sacred to Him and His truth. So we cannot let our lives be blown around by the latest human opinion on what is right or wrong. We cannot be swayed by someone else's idea of what truth is. Instead, we must be guided by the light, the undistorted reality, and the certainty of life that is Jesus Christ, that is God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. You understand, if we're consecrated in Jesus, we are dedicated to His truth. And if we are, there are no questions left unanswered. There is nothing left out. There is no aspect of our lives not covered by that truth. Now, there are many people that will resist this. Many for their own selfish desires will deny this. But remember, God's truth does not stop being God's truth just because it's rejected. Let me say that one again. God's truth does not stop being God's truth just because it's rejected. Can I have a witness on that? Amen?
Amen.
Now we need to pray along with Jesus that we may indeed be consecrated in Him. For not only does that guide our lives here on this side of the cross, but anchoring deep in God is the hinge to our eternal glory. Our time on this side of the cross, it's short, it's fleeting. It is our eternal souls that we must guard. We are consecrated with Jesus, and we are saved by the truth that is Jesus Christ. The world's ideas of right and wrong, they are flimsy, and they are subject to change. Those ideas have no staying power, and pursuit of them will leave you empty and searching for more. But the truth of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it is certain, it is reliable, it is undistorted, and it is real. And we can stake our lives upon it. We can stake our eternal destiny upon it. And we can do so with confidence, with hope, with peace of mind, and with peace of heart. Thank you, Saint Cyril. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Amen.